Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the 100th time, yes, I said that right, for the 100th time, welcome to another crazy edition of The Absolute Truth right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the man with the plan, the king of kings himself. I am, hold on, wait for it. I am a hot rod. Yes. I can't clap too loud because, you know, my daughter's sleeping. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, for the 100th time.
It is I, Sean Black, in the building for the 100th time. And who else is supposed to be with us?
For the 69th time. 69, she put on the show. Not 69.
You have mental problems.
Wow. Oh, already. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to be for the 69th time?
He's broken. I'm convinced.
Good. Thank you very much. Well, wow. What can I say? Well, guys, congratulations and thank you for the show. And
before
we get started, before we piss some people off for the 100th time, I want to give a quick shout-out. So, of course, Sean Black and NHB, thank you once again for being part of the show. I did not expect us to reach this far. It did took us a little time, but you know what? Better late than never. And you know what? We go by the philosophy, never give up. No matter our personal agendas, what's going on in our lives, we still want to keep the show running the best way we can. Of course, I got to give a shout-out to our main guy, K-Dog, Max, Brother B, which he has his shows right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday night on 8:30, Call the Menu. Of course, Milton X, we have to give a shout out to him and say thank you. Philadelphia, Arizona, Washington, Baltimore, Atlanta, Philippines, Hawaii, Alaska. We get listeners from all around the world. Michelle, Lisa from Arizona, Annie Up, the names could go on and on. And, of course, I cannot forget our producer, Mikey the Drunk, who's listening right now. Guys, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Sean Black, anybody want to shout out?
It's all the people that you just named. The Phenom, who's also one of the people that have called and listened to the show, for the sports show that we did. Phil Fischel, who called in. Brother B, all of the people that are there that have called, that know what we're about, the people that have supported us over the last 2 years and change, to my esteemed co-hosts, to, of course, Hot Rod, who without this show, both of us would not be doing this, to Anitra B, who I've grown to know and has become a very good friend of mine over the course of the time we've been doing this show, and she's gotten better and better as we've done this show. Let me think about this. We've talked about everything from Cecil the Lion to Harambe the Ape. We've talked about transgender issues. We talked about social media. We talked about racial Dolezal. We talked about Ashley Madison scandals. We talked about celebrities. We've talked about so many things in this show over the course of the last 2 years and change. And it does me proud that we've continued to keep the same integrity, the sense of humor, and of all the focus that we've had throughout the entirety of what we've been doing the show. And I'm proud to have the two co-hosts that I have. Thank you very much.
And Anitra B, anybody want to give a shout-out to? But first, I'd like to give a shout-out to your sister. Thank you for her support to the show, that listen in every time. So you said I say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Anybody else want to thank?
No, just in general. Just, you know, want to thank everyone who supported. You know, people have taken time out of their busy time, out of their busy schedule to actually, you know, support us, which is pretty damn cool.
Yes, and once again, I'm just shocked that we are listening around the world. We have over close to 4,000 listeners within 2.5 years. I did not expect us to reach this far. So there's a comment or thought or anything you want to let off your chest, please give us a call at 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, I need to be 400th time. Do you don't feel like pissing people off, or you want to continue the dread?
Pull off if I didn't actually thank my mother and my grandmother, so thank you very much. Now we can piss everyone else off.
Okay. Boy. I need to be, do you hate when someone is right and you have to admit when that person is right? You have to hear that. You don't want to hear that person's mouth?
I just choose not to do it.
Well, on a professional level, I need to do this. Last week, well, the last couple of weeks, we have been, like, hot on the air with a lot of comments about our topics. So last week, we talked about Bill O'Reilly and the sexual harassment cases against him.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Black was right.
Oh, damn. Does that taste like vinegar?
Oh, gosh.
It burns. It stings. Yes.
No. I'm still defending Bill O'Reilly to a certain degree, but Sean Black, I'll give it to you. Why? Go ahead. Say it. Say the words you want to tell me right now, Sean Black.
You really want me to say it? Because this is the first. This will be a first.
Ahead,
I told you so.
What did you tell?
Oh, yeah, actually, felt pretty good.
Okay, that's it. No more. So what happened to Bill O'Reilly?
Bill O'Reilly got fired, which I said was going to probably happen when we talked about it last week, because the network was bleeding way too much money. The network was losing way too many advertisers. And News Corp, especially 21st Century Fox, which is the company, the parent company of the network, were taking way too many PR hits. And even though there are so many conservative viewers of the O'Reilly Factor that supported him and his show, he took this two-week hiatus or vacation, and he said it was planned. I think a lot of people know the reason why he took that time off, so that they can get underneath all of the negative press, knowing what was going to happen. They tried to keep the show on by trying to put another person in its place, but even though Bill O'Reilly has been fired, nobody else is going to be able to take over that show. So they abruptly basically canceled the show, and they put in Tucker Carlson, who is in a lot of ways just as bad and in some ways maybe worse than O'Reilly.
Worse. Some people say he's worse than O'Reilly. He's more liberal, I believe.
He's just as conservative. And I remember watching on television clips of Tucker Carlson making some really sexist comments to female guests on the show, on his show, because he's been with Fox News for a number of years himself. He's just a younger version of Bill O'Reilly, it seems. And it seems like a lot of the people that they have on the network seem to come from almost the same mold as far as broadcast integrity, as far as the males that they have that have their own shows, which is sad because you want, in general, if you're in journalism and you watch the news, you want to have as many opinions and many sides of the news as you want to get. You want to have the left, you want to have the right, you want to have the middle, and then you want to have in between the left and the right. The problem is everything that's on television now leans so far to either the left or the right, you can't get the legitimate news. And then when you have other people that don't like what they hear, they claim fake news. And that has become by far the most damaging part of what's happening in American journalism and world news today.
All right, so and it should be. Were you shocked that Bill O'Reilly got let go, terminated, fired, whatever you want to call it?
No.
Do you think he deserved to get fired?
The thing is, we don't know. Because not everything gets released. We don't know everything. There are things they don't release to the public, so we really don't know. But you know, they had their reasons. I couldn't care. I couldn't care less.
And
I mean, if he was inappropriate, and he, and it is true, then of course he deserves to be put on, put out on his ass.
Well, we also know that the phone conversation that he had with one of the females that he was trying to actually talk to involved a conversation where he sounded like he was masturbating on the phone while talking about what he wanted to do with her in a bathtub. That's public knowledge. The phone conversation is out there. So it's not like it's one of those things. We may not know the details of other things, but we do know that it's out there in the ether. So we know that he did say what he said. We know what kind of predatory behavior he has. And there is a long line of instances that have happened since, I believe, the first documented instance, I believe, as it goes back to like 2003. So we've been hearing things along the lines with Bill O'Reilly and some of the things that he has done that have pretty much damaged him.
But as we discussed last week, if one lady let it go by, okay, I cannot say complete about the story, but Sean Black, no, the lady I'm talking about, the first one that came out in public and talked about the incident she had with Bill O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly had never touched her, but he made some inappropriate remarks. He grunted at her. She never took it out with her agency. She never took it out with the HR because, quote, unquote, she was afraid for a job. That was over 10 years ago. I understand that type of mindset. But 10, 20 years ago, female was afraid to stand up for their rights, for their job, for their life, or whatever the reason could be. And but she tweeted about it 10 years ago. So here's my problem. You tweet about it so the public could know, but you never address it to the job because you're afraid to lose a job, or you tweet about it. Isn't that like an oxymoron?
Yeah, but we all know people are stupid.
You have to also understand from the instance involved. Now, I believe she went on like a national TV show, and she's been, I think she's done like radio. I don't know if she's done radio shows, but I know that she's been on the news and public. She's tried to explain some of the things that have happened. But you have to also understand, in television, I guess, especially in the news media, especially when you hear about people getting jobs working for networks, network television, et cetera. When you are a female, there are so many things that you probably have to put up with to keep your job. Not necessarily to say when you're on that probationary period where you're there for the first 6 months or 3 months where you have to basically keep a clean slate so that you can keep that permanent job. There have been so many things that have happened in the workplace, in the entertainment business, and we've heard of horror stories in the news and in newspapers and online. Now, you said this was from 10 years ago. The climate was completely different where, as you stated, she was probably scared. She probably didn't think she had a chance to explain it to anyone else and actually be believed. And this sounds very familiar, kind of like the Bill Cosby thing that we've talked about in the past before, where who's going to believe little old me that this big star that's making all this money, that's in a network TV position, that's making millions and millions of dollars for himself and for the network he works for, is going to believe that this person did this to me or said this to me and actually believe it and have power behind her? That's part of the problem.
Okay. Of course, Sean Black likes to play the sensitive, good heel part. But keep this in mind. I think Anisha could verify. When we work in an environment, especially with male, there's locker room talk no matter where you at. There's locker room talk everywhere. I talk like that. But at the same time, if we see a female approaching, you know, we change it a little bit. But I'm sure Anisha caught catch her guys, which is surrounded by a lot of guys in the workplace. And you know what? Guys always talk that certain way about so-and-so, females or not. It's just human nature. You can't get away with that. It's better now compared to back then because now most men are aware of, but I think some guys get too comfortable with some females. You know, with joking around. And let's be honest, females does it too. They speak, they flirt, they talk crap. There's women locker room talk. Come on. It goes both ways. It seems like for men, it's more open, more out there, because it's more vulgar. So you got someone like Bill O'Reilly who probably doing it for like the last 80 years of his life. So used to it. So when he grunted at this lady or whatever, I think, and then I caught his head because, like, you know what, I've done it for so many years. It's just human nature. I know Anisha said that if someone talked to her that way, she would punch him in the ball. But unfortunately, Anisha, we have to be professional right now about this.
So it is human nature. That's why you have to take things, you have to be realistic. If you're in a situation where you're in an all-male situation, then, you need to dress appropriately or just make it known that certain situations are not okay. There are ways to handle things. I mean, you can't expect people to be robots, you know? People are going to feel comfortable or are going to start acting a certain way. You just let them know, listen, this is not okay. This didn't make me feel comfortable. And then you take it from there.
Okay, well, here's my question. What do you do if that does happen? And from all intents and purposes, you did everything as you were supposed to do the legal way. You complained to HR. You talked to your bosses. You warned the person or the employee or whoever is making these remarks or saying whatever or doing whatever, and it's basically falling on deaf ears, and you know that whatever you're saying is being swept under the rug and kept quiet. What do you do then?
For me, you guys know my mouth is 100% out of control, but I always tell people, like, Anisha, if I ever say something that offends you or anything like that, you let me know personally first. So that's the personal way I approach things. If I still continue, you report to my manager, right? If the steps still continue, now compared to back then, we have technology that you could record it and try to build a case. If you went through all the proper steps, you record everything, and you go get a lawyer. And once you get that lawyer, you get your settlement, cash your money, and goodbye. Maybe these girls did not do that. Maybe they like what was getting. You know, this is Bill O'Reilly. Let me get some money out of it. Sometimes they play the game too. That's why I'm like, we don't know everything about these actors, about these ladies. And if Bill O'Reilly, of course, Bill O'Reilly has to defend himself. But if I'm being honest with you, he's a scumbag. I won't be surprised if he said any of this stuff, because what got me, that he got fired for sexism without racism.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. He said a lot of stuff on TV, a lot of stuff. But he did not get in trouble. Instead, he got more ratings. But he touched a woman. You say something about a woman, gotta go. Go ahead, Anisha. I'm sorry.
Well, we also don't know what's in his contract. They may have been able to fire him on that because he may have been in breach of contract.
Oh, you know, he got a huge severance package. They gave him $25 million out the door.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, but when you mention what he says on his show, it's freedom of speech. He has the right to voice his opinion.
And
the basic rule to that is if you don't like it, you have a remote in your hand, turn the channel.
But see,
so you can't really knock him on that.
If it's bringing the rating, why not? He's basically, from what we've seen and based on the way Fox News Corp encouraged the way this was, a lot of what he said, and this goes to a lot of the other anchors that have their own shows, it's pretty much encouraged. It's as if you have free reign to say what you're going to say, as Bill O'Reilly called his show the No Spin Zone, where he's going to say whatever he says, however he feels, and there's nothing wrong with that, because if that's the show that you steer towards, if that's the audience that he's looking toward, they're looking to listen to what he has to say. The problem is when you go into the aspect of either insulting a race or a gender or a religion, creed, and you go into it from the sense that that person, that group is offended, the only way that something is going to happen is like what happened here. The only way, remember, Bill O'Reilly had gotten, prior to the announcement of all this money that he spent out, Fox gave him a contract extension. I think it was a 2 or 3 year extension to stay with the network. So they knew what was going on, tried to sweep it under the rug, and they gave him an extension. The only way you're going to have that happen.
Who do you blame?
I blame the culture of the network more so than O'Reilly. Because if O'Reilly is going to be that the face of that network. And he's getting away with everything and getting paid to get away with what he said and things that he's done. It's up to the persons or the people or the corporation giving him his paycheck to actually bestow upon them what they're going to do later. I have much more heat toward that network than O'Reilly, even though we know Bill O'Reilly, as you stated, is a complete animal as far as how he's treated women and a lot of the egregious things that he said about race and sexism and all the other stuff that he's brought up. It's more of the culture of the network because we're hearing so many different things. Sean Hannity, we've heard, has gotten lawsuits or somebody is filing a lawsuit on him. We heard about Roger Ailes, who was the head of Fox Sports and Fox News Corp. He got canned, and they gave him $40 million to leave, and he had six cases on him that were settled. So,
but there's a problem I have with females in general. Excuse me. If something happened, like you stated, Sean, if something happened, you don't wait till later on. Now this is a new generation. We're in a new field right now. You support, report things right away. How can I believe you if something happened 2-3 years ago? It's like the Bill Cosby case. Something happened 40 years ago. Like Anitra said many times, that's your fault. You know, what's done is done. If I beat you up, Sean, you're supposed to call the cops right away. You don't call the cops after 10 years later that, you know, I robbed you. There's nothing that could be done.
But you as know? I stated before, if it was all about money, the African-American woman that is now filing the lawsuit, which I think was one of the ones that really got O'Reilly to push him over the limit and got him fired. She was past the statute of limitations where she could get a monetary judgment if that was the case. She wasn't suing for money. She did this 10 years after the fact and still continued the lawsuit. So I think we're breaking it down to making it a little bit too simple, where we've heard so many cases of women and men in certain situations suing somebody, trying to get a paycheck. I don't think that that's the case here with a lot of these situations because you have to remember the dynamic of sexual harassment or sexual assault, whichever one is looked at in these lawsuits, is the fact that you're looked in a certain way as quote-unquote damaged goods, or you're looked in a certain way as, well, you're in the workplace, you're going to just come to this job. And think of the stigma going to a job and being harassed, filing a lawsuit, then not having that job, and then trying to go forward in your line of work, and then other corporations looking at that woman and saying, oh, she's going to probably come up with a lawsuit, so let me not hire her. So you've got that stigma on top.
Hey,
irregardless of whatever the settlement may or may not have been.
That's a problem. But Anitra, as a woman statute, me and the guys, we're talking about this all the time. It seems like now these days, since most people are gullible in this new era, no matter what you said, what a man could say to a woman or vice versa, could be used as harassment. I could go up to you and say, you look lovely today. And you could take it the wrong way, like, wait a minute, why are you looking at me like that?
Well, see, that's the problem. That's a major problem, is that people, you can give someone just a simple compliment, and they'll take it as harassment, which clearly it's not.
No,
so you just have to be careful. I mean, to have these women who chose to work for these people with known reputations of doing this, but you choose to put yourself in that position anyway, then you're the idiot.
Well, I'm sorry, but
if I'm not going to go and get a job with an individual or with a network who has a public reputation of this crap, why would you put yourself in that position to begin with? Why? That doesn't make any sense. It's like saying the stove is hot, don't touch it, and then you go fucking touch it. It's the same thing.
I brought this up because me and the guy saw the interview last week. We were like, okay, once again, I joke around a lot. If I would say, you know, sometimes I say things out of line, and a little bit of personal story. 2 years ago, I got in trouble for joking around in that sexual manner. I learned my lesson. I received my punishment. I move on. Because, once again, is it that mind frame? I don't think about it straight. You know, I'm talking to the girl, like, you know, like one of the guys. But it was out of context. She did blow it out of proportion, but instead of addressing to me about it, she went to my, she didn't even went to my boss. She went to, like, the top of HR, and they took it from there. We're friends and everything, but it was just one of those things that took out of context. So that's why I brought something like that. Sometimes when you say something, it can be brought out of context. Like, whoa, hello. I didn't mean it that way. I say you look lovely today because you look lovely today. But if
yeah.
a guy said, if a guy said XYZ, you look like a slut or B-I-T-C-H, oh my God, that's a compliment? It's like, what can a guy say to a woman now without getting into trouble? Hi,
okay. Probably. I mean, like, the best advice I give people is just keep your damn mouth shut.
Well, you
which
know,
is very
I've
unfortunate.
Actually seen a lot of people say that, it, you know, if the first, what I think needs to be done, probably to help clear, like you said, Anitra, a lot of times you probably just shouldn't try and socialize on the job, which is a messed up thought process to have, because most people that are working have very good friends that work at their job, and they go out for drinks afterwards, or go to dinner, go to the movies, hang out, and become lifelong friends. It happens. But at the same time, I think as a corporation, I think you have to have HR and lawyers speak to incoming prospective employees and hammer this out so that a lot of these things just don't get misconstrued. Because as you stated, it doesn't take much to have one comment get taken completely out of context and turn into trouble.
Okay, hold on 1 second. We got K-Dog. K-Dog, you always touch your ass at me, so go ahead.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Happy,
hey.
Happy 100. Hey, everybody, mm-hmm. How you guys are doing tonight? Well, you know what? I might as well get into business. These days in the workplace, you have to be very careful on how you address females in the workplace. Of course, you know, with sexual harassment, it really is a big thing. Really is. And you know what? It doesn't even have to necessarily be verbal, but it could also be nonverbal. I learned that from a seminar that I went to not too long ago in the office. They said that even staring is a form of sexual harassment.
Okay.
And
like that pisses me off, because if I'm staring at you, K-Dog, I'm just saying for example, because you wear pants out, like, if some reason I'm looking at your ass, that doesn't mean I'm sexually harassing you, you know?
Oh, but you'll be shocked and amazed, because you know what? I've learned this, is that a lot of women have made complaints about men who stare at them at work.
Oh, Anitra, take over.
Yeah. Go ahead, Anitra.
That what?
Yeah, there's been complaints about from women in the workplace about men staring at them.
Oh,
they
yeah,
say
I
that
don't
they
care.
Oh, but you'll be shocked. But listen, in like, okay, I work in an office, and, you know, you have to be very careful. You know, during the seminar that I went to on sexual harassment, they talked about the verbal. They had us watch a video, and also they talked about the nonverbal, especially the staring. I'm like, really? They said, yeah, it's been known some women have made complaints. They say, oh, like the man is making them feel uncomfortable when they get stared at. I'm like, wow, I was shocked and amazed to hear that, because I've always known that sexual harassment is verbal, is when you make a verbal comment towards a woman that is inappropriate in the workplace.
But with that point alone, and, you know, I argue with these guys all the time on the job, and even with some females, and some females don't understand that as well, that staring down, you said, okay, dog, some females wear stuff that's inappropriate for the office, where they're
exactly.
high heels, short skirts, except for Sean, Sean's such a gentleman. He doesn't look. Guys like you and I, we will look. It's human nature.
Yeah.
So, Anitra, am I wrong to looking at you if you're wearing high boots or high skirts and showing cleavage?
No, see, the whole point of that staring thing is it comes to the point where it becomes creepy.
Yeah.
Like when you know
especially
when someone stares at you and you can feel it, that's when it becomes sex. That's when it becomes harassment. That's what they're actually talking about. Now, like with anything else, people take it to different extremes, which I think is silly. I personally don't deal with it. I think more in case of the men in my job know better and know my mouth and don't want to go home crying. But that's in my case.
Yeah, because staring, I mean, you know what it is with the staring. It's like this, like staring as in a creepy way, like stalking them, like, you know, you're walking right behind them and, you know, everywhere they go and you're looking at them, it becomes a problem.
But here's the other thing that a lot of people don't realize is the fact that when you're looking at sexual harassment, sexual assault laws that are on the books, for certain jobs, you also have to understand that the female that may feel like she is being harassed, it also is in context of the definition of what that particular female feels is uncomfortable that would go toward what she is protected by. Because what one woman may look at as being flattering, another woman may find as creepy, what another person
offensive.
May find as, okay, you're going to jail. And
right.
it depends on context. There's a lot of factors involved, you know, how they grew up, if anything has happened to them in their lifetime that would remind them of something that is uncomfortable, a number of factors. And that's one of the things that makes this so hard, because then trying to define the law as it is, even though it's in black and white, to other people, it's a subjective definition based on how that female, how comfortable that female feels based on that particular aggression.
So once again, you can't say anything to anyone now these days because everybody's so gullible?
Yeah, and people are sensitive. That's the thing. It's the sensitivity of it. Okay, in the wake of all the sexual harassment, even compliments, they even told me in a seminar, I said, is it all right for me to compliment a female? They said, oh, no, you can't do that, because some females, they take it as, you know, a form of, why are you complimenting my outfit? Why are you complimenting me? You know, you can't do that. In some offices, it's forbidden.
Well, which in a way makes sense, because there's some dudes who, to be honest with you, their ego is so out of whack that if a female pays them a compliment, they really think that the woman's hitting on them. Like, dude, I'm not hitting on you. That's happened to me before, by the way, where I gave a gentleman a compliment where there was a nice shirt, all the shirts happened to look nice on them, and they really thought, I was like, no, honey, I don't want you. I was just giving you a compliment. Like, they take it to another level.
Yeah, they take it to another level. Yeah, because some people, they get carried away in the workplace. Okay, I'm glad you guys are bringing up Bill O'Reilly, but, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of a status you have at a job. That doesn't give you the right to make a woman feel uncomfortable.
But there's some jobs that does,
unfortunately, that they get away with it because of who they are in that position and how much money they bring into that company.
Exactly.
Well, if you really think about it, if Fox let it slide all this time, money is no object then. If the top guy's getting $20 million to leave,
and the reason Fox had to get rid of him is because of all the ads that were pulled out of their network, all the ads that were pulled out of his show. That's the only way they got rid of him. Because believe it or not, and I was listening to you guys earlier, Bill O'Reilly got away with a lot of disrespect on the job. I was watching a documentary the other day on Fox News, a documentary that Fox News did not want to be put out. And there has been many times that Bill O'Reilly has told a guest to shut up many times.
He's not the first host to do that. That's irrelevant. There's tons of TV hosts that do that. He's not the first one. That's irrelevant.
I know that. I know he's not the first one to do it, but Fox had let him get away with a lot of things. And there's been a lot of other instances that Bill O'Reilly has used on his show that deemed offensive, and he's gotten away with it.
I brought that up last week. a lot of those comments that he did. I brought all of those up.
Many comments he's made, and you know what? It had to take for this to happen for them to shut him down.
Okay.
Well, because his comments, as offensive as they may have been, he had the right to say them. It's freedom of speech, people. He has the right to do it. They can't fire him because of his opinion. They hired him because he's controversial, because of his opinions.
And
as
like,
one,
you know,
man had
well,
his job to begin
Fox
with.
Encouraged him to continue
Fox
on with that
plane.
Because he was never reprimanded by the
network. Nope, he never
exactly.
never brought
so
up on anything because he's
again,
even gone as far as to offend leaders
and
just regular guests alike.
This is why I give Bill O'Reilly credit where credit is due. If you claim me to become an a-hole on TV and curse everybody out, guess what? I'm doing it. Right now I'm doing it for free on Blog Talk Radio. I want to get paid like Bill O'Reilly and curse people out. But that's not the case right now.
You know what it is? I don't even think it's the fact that he said what he said. That's
exactly.
The main issue is the fact that he's just one of the many. The issue
exactly.
is what took the network so long to act. And the reason why, as K-Dog just stated, and we talked about before,
money.
If the networks didn't start losing advertisers, and there was one show
they
would have
never
got
rid of
the week before he took his vacation, he only had 7 sponsors on his entire one-hour program, as opposed
because
to having
names.
The 15 or so that he had. He only had 7 advertisers. When you lose $40 million worth of advertising, you're going to take notice.
And guess
okay.
what? The people he lost were big names. Those are big-time sponsors.
All right. Well, enough about Bill O'Reilly. Let's go to another topic. There was a funeral today for ex-NFL player. I got some hair caught in my throat, you know, hearing a girl out. But besides that.
Oh, damn.
Oh, boy. Ex-NFL player, New England Patriots. I'm talking on the New England Patriots because I hate them with a passion. Aaron Hernandez committed suicide last week, which kind of like of a shocker to everyone. Sean Black, were you surprised by his suicide? Or do you think there's something fishy in his story?
No, I'm not surprised at all. I don't think there's anything fishy about the story at all. I was thinking something like this was going to happen. I didn't mention it on the show because I figured hopefully he would get some sort of justice involved as far as what was going to happen. And there were so many layers to the story, but in general, the first time we talked about Aaron Hernandez, just to show you how long this happened, all of the things that have happened with him. We talked about Aaron Hernandez in our 6th show.
Really?
Way back. 6th show, back in May of 2015, we did not realize that this was going to escalate to where it got to today and what we're talking about now. And it seems to me that based on him killing himself in jail and leaving, apparently, from what was talked about, he left 3 suicide notes. He scribbled John 3:16 on his forehead. The main thing that we get out of this was the fact that he was afraid of being outed as bisexual. Now, if we go back to the Odin Lloyd murders, the one thing that he contended was that Odin Lloyd said a homosexual slur to him at some point, and they were probably going to use that in his defense of why he might have done what he did. I don't buy a lot of that, because I think that he just had a lot of street in him. After his father died at the age of 16, he seemed to have lost his way and got into the street and never let the street get away from him.
And he became a mega NFL player, got a Super Bowl ring, $40 million, and all that is down the drain.
Yep. Yeah, after the murder charge. And that boy stopped to his career.
The reason why I brought this up, because some people felt sorry for him, some people did not feel sorry for him. Kato, do you feel sorry for Aaron Hernandez?
You know, he could have handled it in a different way. I mean, listen, look, you gotta take the punishment like a man. There's no way to run away from it. I mean, committing suicide is, in fact, especially if you were convicted of it. But he was acquitted, and I think that was kind of a cowardly act for him to do.
Kind of?
Not kind of. Well, I'm mistaken. Not kind of, but a very cowardly act to commit. If you're going to commit suicide like that.
Okay, and talking about suicide, I need your last week, another story that we talked about was a Facebook live murder that the guy got caught. What a chicken McNuggets at French fries at McDonald's. Cops was approaching him, and he decided to run away. Then he killed himself in front of cops. How do you feel about the Facebook Live murder?
I wasn't surprised. I mean, obviously he was missing a few scruples to do what he did. But I really wasn't surprised that, you know, he ended up taking his own life. I mean, how many times do we hear that some psycho, you know, kills this one and that one and then turns the gun on themselves? This is wasn't a shocking ending.
Mm-hmm. Sean?
Well, I don't think any of us are surprised with this result either. I mean, let's really call it what it is. When you're looking at the potential of spending the rest of your life in prison, especially after doing what he did, same thing we talked about with Aaron Hernandez. I think it got to a point where you're looking at the rest of your life. Aaron Hernandez was 27. The Facebook murderer was 35. 30,
yeah,
37.
He was 37. Whichever age he was, he still had potentially another 50 or 60 years of life. And you're going to be looking at that in prison. And with all of the bad things that happen to a lot of people when they know they're going to be going to jail, there's no way out, there's no family life, no money, no freedom, they say, you know what, it's time to end it. And that's exactly what a lot of these people do. They go ahead and raise hell, they do whatever they can, and then they take the easy way out and kill themselves, whether it's suicide by a cop or just to kill themselves in general.
They go out with a bang, so to speak.
Yeah,
yeah. Basically, you know what, because of the fear of going to jail or being the fear of being in jail for the rest of their lives, like they see their whole life going down, and of course, they don't want to experience the life in jail. They don't want to experience that jail life, you know, dealing with other inmates.
Well, let's be honest about that. That's going to be a future topic because about the prison life. I'm sure prison life changed Aaron Hernandez in a big way. Maybe he was, you think, antidepressant, maybe he could not take anymore. Maybe he was sick and tired of getting a butt plug up his ass. Who knows?
But you got to remember, I said it before, from what was talked about in the papers and in the news, when he was 16, his father, who he was very close to, died. And that seems to be when he kind of lost his way with authority figures. As far as his alleged sexuality, that could have been part of it. I'm not sure if that is an excuse.
They're running that rumor like crazy, like, oh, they got a letter from his ex-lover or something like that.
No, they said that was false.
Yeah, it is. It's all false. I don't buy it. It's all tabloids. But, however, the reality of it is that he just didn't want to stay in there. That was his way out.
Well, realistically, who would want to spend the rest of their life behind bars?
Exactly.
Well, there have been many people who would rather spend the rest of their life, and they have to grin and bear it. Some people, you know, different strokes for different folks, if you understand what I'm saying.
And yes, and Sean Black and I, we did try it. We like it, but we kept it to ourselves. Besides that,
for yourself.
We got 15 minutes. I got two more questions. Sean Black, since this is our 100th show, somebody else is reaching 100 days in office soon Saturday.
Good
your
Lord.
Man, your president, Donald Trump.
He's not my president. I didn't vote for him.
You're going to say that every damn time.
Yeah.
This past week, he was on the show Face the Nation, which drew the highest rating ever for that show.
Yeah.
Highest since 9/11, he said. Once again, Sean Black has, in his first 100 days,
I
is Donald
really,
Trump. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
I really don't. I have seen egotistical people. I have seen people with. I have seen people with God complexes before. I have seen people that are power hungry and money mad. I have never in my lifetime seen somebody as arrogant and as blowharded as Donald Trump, with all of the bluster and all of the lies and all the other stuff, irregardless of the talking about that stuff. If you're going to go on a network television show and you're going to toot your own horn, you could stay away from trivializing 3,000 people being killed and using that inside of your soliloquy about how great you are, especially since you're the president of the United States, and we pretty sure know at some point when, I mean, think about this. The September 11th dedications come up in September. This is going to be Donald Trump's first as president, and I hope that the people that are there will remember these comments that he says when this comes along, if we make it that far.
Okay, has Donald Trump did anything that impressed you so far since he took office from day one?
Hell no.
Has he done anything to impress me?
Yes. He signed 37.
He has done something to impress me. He has unified so many other countries against him. And his message—that's probably about the best thing that he's done. So yeah,
and guess what? He did impress me with something. He did impress me with something.
Yeah.
You know, he impressed me with this—that the United States is now the laughingstock of the entire world.
That's nothing new. We've been the laughingstock for years.
No. But now we are really the laughing sitcom, because you know why? We have a celebrity, an attention-getting whore, and a social media whore in the White House.
Damn, God, this is your president you're talking about.
He ain't my president. I don't even call him president. I call him Trump. Chump.
Anitra?
He's doing exactly everything he said he was going to do. None of this surprises me. Throughout his campaign, this is what he said he was going to do, and he's doing it. You know, like a lot of people saying that now he's changing our country's reputation. No, he's not. It's actually stayed the same. I don't know if you guys have ever traveled abroad. I have. There's no difference. There's absolutely no difference. He's doing everything he said he was going to do. I don't get why people are so fucking surprised.
It's not a surprise.
It's no surprise at all. You know what? Some people, it may come as a surprise to some people because some people are such idiots. They don't really know that much about Donald Trump, and they go ahead and support him anyway. But, yeah, people out there that say, oh, my goodness, look who we voted for. I'm like, duh, you didn't know who the hell you were voting for? Are you serious? Are you brain dead, or are you?
They knew and voted in spite of that.
Exactly. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
There are people who wanted something different, so they got something different. We got to endure 4 years of this, and hopefully in the next election, people are smart enough to vote them out.
As I stated earlier, if we make it that far, because one of the main things we're going to worry about is a potential government shutdown. The deadline is on Friday. Trump is on top of this stuff. He has to be in the war room trying to make sure that the country doesn't go broke. Two, we also
and
have to worry about what's happening with North Korea and all the other stuff. Three, we know that Trump is eventually going to have to talk about his tax plan, which nobody knows what he's going to do, even though he stated he's going to slash the tax from 36% to 15%. I'll believe it when I see it. But that's where a lot of it is, as you stated, Anitra. Nobody should be surprised. It's not like he was going to get into office and change it.
You get
what you get.
Well,
but you know what, Hot Rod, here's something I got to tell you. Don't forget, when you're building that bomb shelter, stack it up with plenty of cranberry juice, if you know what I mean.
Of course. But besides that, I have a caller already. I give Donald Trump credit where credit is due, because guess what? Everybody's talking about Donald Trump.
Of course.
Because he's an attention whore. This is
Hello,
a,
caller?
This is a media whore.
Hello?
Yeah? Am I on?
Yes, you're on now.
Yeah, I think what these young kids are doing is great. It's great for the young people and the youth of America, and the youth of America today is very young, and the young people is what's important to the youth of America. You know, being young, I was a young boy once in my youth, and in my youth, I was young, and I was in my youth, and the youth is affecting the young girls and the young people, and the youth, is affecting the people.
Okay.
That sounded exactly like something that Trump might have said about 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I think he did.
So you think that you're a Trump supporter?
I'm sorry?
So you support Trump?
Only now and then.
And why? I like to know why you support Trump. Do you think Trump is doing a good job right now?
I think he's going to bring the team-ups and make them great again.
The peanuts?
He's going to get Dalton back to 500.
Oh, okay. So,
Della?
You think he... Yes, hello. I'm sorry, you just got me lost there. Repeat that over again, please, sir.
He said he's going to fix the Dow, is what he said.
Mm-hmm. And what about the wall? Hello, sir. Okay, did I get lost? Did I miss something there?
I got lost.
I think we can move on from that.
Yeah, let's move on. Yeah, let's move on.
Okay.
That,
okay, wow. I'd like to apologize. I don't know what the heck was that. I don't know if that was a prank or whatever.
I think that's what that was. That sounded like
I guess
a prank.
It was.
Prank.
It sounded like a prank because he sounded
I had
but
no
you
words
know,
for that.
The funny thing about that was we know we are doing our job when we're getting pranked by people we don't know who they are or where they're calling from.
True.
Welcome to the Absolute Truth Show. Well,
and that's why it made no sense. But his prank made no sense. That's why I'm trying to aim what the hell he's talking about.
Me, when I heard him say peanuts, I'm like, what the hell is peanuts, man? I'm a peanut? What? Okay. He's bringing the peanuts back. Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you go. A first prank on the Absolute Truth Show. This is definitely our 100th episode indeed.
Actually, that's our second. You remember we had Ben Carson call us?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And all right, well, we got 6 minutes left. Let me go one more question because that damn prank caller wasted my time.
Mm.
Okay, Nikki B. John Cena and Nikki Bella from two wrestlers. After 5 years of dating, John Cena finally proposed the question to her. 5 years of dating. Anisha, how long do you think a couple should wait until the man proposed a question or popped the question?
There's no answer for that, because there are people that have been together for decades and have not gotten married, and there are people who got married after knowing each other for 2 months. That's all when it's right for you.
Yeah.
There's no too slow, too fast. When you're ready, you do it.
Exactly.
I think that's
dependent on, you know, the couple, their
exactly.
situation,
et
cetera.
Being
the only one out of this panel that has been married, I popped the question 2 years into the relationship. But that's all dependent on, you know, how the relationship is, if you're ready,
yeah.
if the other person is ready. and then you deal with it from there.
And you know what? It depends on two people, because you know what? Listen, the two of you could sit down and talk about marriage, and you know, you could determine whether or not that you want to marry this person, because some people say, oh, within 6 months into the relationship, that's when you'll know that you want to spend the rest of your life, which I believe, which this is my belief, like, it depends on the length, more than 6 months, that you'll know that you want to spend the rest of your life with this person, because you can know someone in 6 months, and things could just change. You understand what I'm saying?
How many times have you seen a Hollywood couple date for, 2 months, and then everybody's wondering, well, when are they going to get married? I mean, really?
Right. Yeah. And it's
a rush. It depends on how old you are also. I mean, realistically, I'm 39. I wouldn't date someone for 2 or 3 years. But no,
40. She's 40.
I am not 40. No, I am not 40. It has not gotten to that yet. But realistically, at my age, I wouldn't date somebody for 2 or 3 years without any progression. That's what it is.
I need you to hit it right there, because you think about it. For example, John Cena is 40. He's probably realizing, I'm getting up there. I'm getting up there, trying to settle down.
Cena's been married before. So I think for him, he might have gotten married the first time too young, and that ended in divorce, and he probably wasn't fully ready. So who knows? Maybe he finally settled in to the right time. He's found the right person, and now he's ready to settle down.
I agree. At a certain age, you know, you do have to settle down. I mean, listen, once you reach your 30s or mid-30s and 40s, that's when you want to, say, hey, you know what, the time of playing games, the time of all this drama, it's time for it to come to an end. I want to settle down with somebody who's stable, who understands me, who both of us could actually live together. I want to settle down. That's when, you want to bring that ring up. But in my opinion, I say that person has to be worthy of that ring.
But here's the difference. John Cena doesn't want any children. And
we don't know that because he also said he didn't want to get married.
Himself. He stated that himself, that he doesn't want any children. And
watch her show up pregnant.
Nikki Bella herself has said that she wanted to have children, but she knows if she's going to get married to John Cena that that's going to be something that's not there. Whether that evolves over time, who knows? But that's initially what the situation is.
It probably will, considering she got the ring out of the dude.
Okay, well, it's time to wrap it up now. We have 2 more minutes. K-Dog, since I know you for 20 years or so, will you please marry me?
What the hell?
Sean.
Well, you know what? I would love to. There's one person. It's Sanaa Lathan. If you're listening, hey. Baby, I'm here for you.
Ew, what the hell was that? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this crazy prank proposal. Bill O'Reilly, sexual harassment show right here on Blog Talk Radio. Tune in to Brother B Show Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. The Menu.
Yeah.
My other partner, 300 Pounds of Sport Knowledge, next Monday night at 9 p.m. Will he be talking about the NFL Draft? K-Dog, I need you to be Sean Black. Once again, thank you for 2.5 crazy years. I wish I had better partners, but I can't afford no real partners, so I'm stuck with you guys.
You're stuck with us, man.
For a little bit longer. You got 40 seconds, Sean Black. Anything else?
As I said before, we've done 100. Let's hope we can get another 100 in. Done great. I thank you for having us all contribute to this show. And with working, because we've got an audience and they're listening all over the world. So for you guys, thank you, because without you guys, we're nothing.
Anisha B?
Exactly. This has been a great ride. Continue it. Thanks to everybody. That's important, baby.
It was a great ride indeed, baby. Oh, yes. But, Lord, wait a minute.
You've got
issues.
Where's Milton X?
Where is he tonight?
What? You see Milton X ain't caught, man.
Oh, well. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. And as always, the pleasure was all
yours.
Yours.
So, Anitra, you like the long ride or the short ride?
Boy.
Yeah, dude, I heard you quick. You served me no purpose.
Oh, man.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Peace out, y'all. Peace out, everybody.